and that we would receive that which we stand in need of for today. Strength for tomorrow, and give us the outlook that we need for the future in our lives, in our church, and in our country. Because we need a word from the Lord in these days and times in which we live in. Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, starting at verse 16 and reading verse 17. Verses 16 to 17 from the 32nd chapter of the book of Jeremiah. It reads as this. It says, "Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." And that's all we're going to read tonight, just those two verses. And I'd like to use for our text tonight, this is entitled The Prayer of Jeremiah, or Jeremiah's Prayer. Wouldn't it be something if you would pray a prayer that would be recorded in a volume of books for generations to read in the future? And there are many different prayers that God put it upon the hearts of man to write down, that we would be able to have them here in 2019, and they would still be a blessing to us. How many of you remember hearing a prayer that someone prayed around the altar of God? And those words, that spirit, you may not remember the words, but you remember the spirit in which it was prayed in. And we've had many of those here, to where they gather around and began to pray, and just the Holy Spirit fell in a mighty, mighty way. But Jeremiah, this was a time that was very confusing. Jeremiah was in prison. It was a time that he was looking at possibly even death for preaching the truth of the Word of God. You know, just like today, they still don't want to hear the truth, but the truth will set you free. And Jeremiah, the long story here, Brother Ray, had been told by God. He'd had a fulfillment of a prophecy that God gave to Jeremiah, that he would buy a piece of land. And this piece of land would be his and his family's for generations to come. It was confusing for Jeremiah because he was in prison, and yet this piece of land that he was going to buy, God had already told him the enemy was going to take it. And Jeremiah, no doubt, was confused. God, you want me to buy a piece of land, but yet you tell me that that piece of land is going to be part of the land that will be taken by the enemy, and the houses burned, and everything will be left desolate. It's kind of confusing, isn't it? Why would God want me to buy this piece of land when the enemy is going to overrun it? Because of the error of God's people and the way that they have lived. The enemy's going to come, he's going to take this land. But then, I believe that God told Jeremiah, even though the enemy may possess it, it will come back to you. He may take it for a while, but you'll get it back. And Jeremiah saying in these verses here that he bought the land from his cousin. He bought the field that was there, and he had given proof that he bought it. And then he went back to God, and he began to speak to the Lord. And he said unto him, after he had proved that he bought it to Barak, the son of Neriah, he began to call out to God, and he said, O Lord God, behold, thou that hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. How many of us know today that there is nothing too hard for our God? Jeremiah pondered on these, and he knew about the great things that God had done in the past. And sometimes we limit God to what was done in the past. God is not just a God of yesterday, but He is a God of today. And if the sun comes up in the morning, He'll be the God of tomorrow. In fact, even if the sun don't come up on this side, He'll still be the God of our forefathers and will be the God, the pre-existing one, and the one even into eternity. The Bible tells us that Jeremiah was bragging on God. He bragged on Him and said, "You made heaven and earth by your great power and your stretched out arm." When I look at this earth and all that it has, I've never seen anything so beautiful as what God has given to us in what we where we dwell at. There's nothing as beautiful as the oceans or the mountains or the hills that God has blessed us with. And Jeremiah said, "Look at your mighty power. If you could do all of this, then there is nothing that's too hard for my God." How many of you tonight know you've experienced it, that there is nothing too hard for your God? He can do anything. In fact, there's nothing that our God cannot do. I've seen Him work many a miracles, and so have you. And Jeremiah said, "Lord, I know You, and there is nothing too hard for You." Going back to the book of Genesis, you'll remember that almost this same text that you'll find there about being too hard for God. When God told Abraham that Sarah would have a child, and she laughed. And God asked the question, is there anything too hard for God? You may be up in years and your womb may be closed, but I'm God. I can open it up and You shall deliver a son. And Sarah laughed at the Lord. You remember that scripture? And the Lord said unto her, why did you laugh? She didn't laugh out loud. Within herself, she laughed. You see, we think that we look at the natural and say, this is impossible. But has God ever showed up and done something for you in your life that was beyond imagination, that you look back and you say, there was nothing, there is nothing too hard for my God to take care of? In fact, if He can save us, He can do anything. Because that's the greatest need we had, was to be saved from a devil's hell. He said, there's nothing too hard for our Lord. In verse 18, He says, you show loving kindness to thousands. He is a loving God. Has anybody else sat in the arms of the Lord and felt the love that He shows to us? You and I, that like little Grant, that gets up in Rachel's lap, what little lap she's got left. I had to put that in. And He shows her loving kindness. She shows Him. That's the way God is. Sometimes when we're broken, sometimes when we just need to feel the touch of the Master, He takes us into His arms and He shows us loving kindness. And people say, but you can't feel, you can't see God. I may not be able to see Him, but I certainly can feel the presence of an Almighty God when He comes upon the scene. Amen? And then He goes in, and He tells us today, and I'm going to make this a short message, if that be all right. He says, He is a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve today. That there is nothing too hard for Him. If He could create the heavens and the earth, if He can drive the Satan and his third part of the angels that fell out of heaven, if He could save mom and dad, and He could save you and I, there's nothing that is too hard for Him. And He is a great God. And He's good. And He's good all the time to each and every one of us. He says in that same verse, He is a mighty God. Not only is He good, but He's mighty. Do you know anybody more powerful than God? People say Satan's on a warpath and he's raging and he's devouring. But he's only got a few more days to work. And then we're going to see an end to this war like we have read about, but we have never truly imagined what it's going to be like. The heavens, we're going to hear from the heavens the trump of God declaring that time should be no more. The heavens are going to open up and our Lord is coming on the clouds of glory to get his church and to cast out Satan once and for all into hell for all eternity, to where he and all of his followers will never be able to get to a child of God again, because we won't be here. We'll be at home with the Lord for all eternity. He is a mighty God. Verse 19 says that he is great in counsel. Sometimes people ask us a question, and Brother Jack, I ponder on it, and sometimes I'm able to give them an answer, and sometimes I'm not. But I serve a mighty God that has the answer to everything we face in life. Doesn't matter how small or how big it is, God has the answer. In fact, God is the answer for everything we face. You say, again, Roger, you think your God can do everything. I say amen. If he can't do it, it can't be done. He is a mighty God, and he is great in counsel, and he is mighty in work. Look what he did for us today. How many of us realize that we are a picture, we are a trophy of grace that God worked in our life? If it wasn't for him working in our life, there's no telling what you and I would be like today or where we might be at. And instead, to put it just blunt, many of us would either be in the jailhouse or 6 foot under, because we would go after the Adam nature. But God did a mighty work. And you say, man, if he did a mighty work in you, I'm not sure about this God. Well, don't judge me yet. He's still working on me. Amen. Is he still working on anybody else? Amen. And there's nothing too hard for my God. I've got some rough edges. I've got some things that need to be smoothed out. But how many of you would just confess tonight, God's still working on you? He has taught us patience and temperance. He has taught us how to keep our mouth shut. Yeah, some of you don't want to say amen. But there's times that we want to say something and God is saying, be quiet. And there's times that we want to be quiet and God is saying, say something. He's a mighty God and there is nothing that's too hard for him. Jeremiah went on to say that, and this is a long story. He says, your eyes are upon every one of us, if I can paraphrase it. Church, it ought to inspire us to know God is watching over us. And he not just sees our past and where we're at right now, but he knows about tomorrow. Amen. He knows what's going to befall each and every one of us tomorrow. Today was a beautiful day. God gave us health and strength, each and every one of us, for this day. Tomorrow might be a different story. Anymore, I dread to hear the sound of the phone ring. Because what kind of bad news is it going to bring? But you know, if bad news comes tomorrow, will not face anything that my God is not able to bring us through it and give us the victory in our lives and in our place where we're at today. He said, not only your eyes are upon us, but he says, look at what he did for the children of Israel, how he set signs and wonders in the land of Israel, Egypt and in Israel and among other men as it is this day. God has put his seal of approval upon his people. And no matter, you see, what brought all of this going into captivity, and, you know, we know about Egypt, But people, there was other captivities. In fact, I don't know if there was a generation of the children of Israel that did not face captivity. There was the Babylonian captivity to where they went in because of their disobedience to God. And he was telling them that, look what God has done. And with what God has done, it shows that he is able to defeat even the strongest of enemies that you may face in your life. Who is your strongest enemy? Other than the devil. We have other enemies, do we not? Death is an enemy. And sometimes in this world, we could be our own enemy. You say, how can you be your own enemy? How many of you have ever gone against God's word and got yourself in trouble? You knew to do good, but you did it not and got in trouble with the Lord. He said that you gave them this land and you swore it to their fathers to give it to them, and you have caused all evil to come upon them for their disobedience in verse 23. But you say, how is that bragging about Jeremiah saying, is there anything there too hard for God? Jeremiah saying, look what he did for us in the past. Look where we're at today. I'm in prison. That's what Jeremiah is saying. But you know what he is saying? Look to tomorrow. I might be in prison today, but tomorrow, because of the prophecy of the word of God, I'll be back out there preaching the same gospel, because there is nothing too hard for my God. And then the Lord answered Jeremiah. When the Lord heard his prayer, God answered his prayer in verse 26 and 27. He said, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Tonight in my closing, I ask you, what are you going through? What has got you to the point that you are so broken? Jeremiah could have sat in that prison cell and kept his mouth shut. Look at this, children of God. Even in a prison, he was performing God's will. You say, how did he buy land being in prison? I ask you even a tougher question. Being a preacher, where did he get the money from? Some of y'all just got that. Where did he get the money from? You say, Roger, where did this man get the money from? Well, you remember Jesus told the apostle. He said, it's tax time. It's time for us to pay our taxes, and we don't have the money. If I could paraphrase, he said, you go out yonder, and when you catch that fish, open its mouth, and you'll find our tax money. Is there anything too hard for our God? Is there anything that a man would give his life for his friends and die, but then on the third day had the power to raise up his own body? People say, well, I thought God raised him up. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to raise it up. And then on the third day, they came there out, and they found that the stone had been rolled away, and they looked inside, and he was gone. He must have walked out. He opened the door from the inside, and he walked out. No, he'd already arose. The stone was rolled away so that men could look in and see that he's alive. Is there anything too hard for God in your life that Rachel testify about a song that she loved to hear her aunt sing and probably sung it along with her, but now she can sing it and know what it's talking about? Is there anything too hard for God? How many of us will say, everything I've faced in my life, God has made a way? Every one of you ought to be saying amen. How many situations have we faced that it looked like destruction was coming. It looked like the end was at hand. It looked like we were set up to fail. But then God showed up. And I brag on him like Jeremiah. I say, Lord, there is nothing too hard for my God that he cannot take care of. Those children that are away from the Lord, God can bring them back. Those children that are lost and undone, God can save them. You say, but they don't go to church. Did you know you don't have to be in church for God to get your attention? They've been here or at another church and they've heard the word preached. God can get their attention regardless of where they're at. And tell them what is right and get them on the right path again. Amen? Is there anything too hard for our God that he can take generational curses and remove them from our families? I told Becky and I were talking on the way to church and she was asking me about Junior passing away. And I said, well, he passed away, but Junior was a bad alcoholic. I told the church this on Wednesday night. It's sad when the highlight of your obituary says that you love to play poker. Is that not a sad obituary? I mean, it had other things in there, but he was a victim of generational alcoholism. His daddy was an alcoholic. His mama. And it ended up leading to other things with drugs, and drugs and alcohol destroyed him. I'm thankful today that God pulled me out of that kind of an environment. And you say, did God do it? There's nothing too hard for our God. Brother Rob and I have a similar past. He's got brothers that are just away from God. Rough, if I can put it like that, Rob, without insulting you. How many of you come from a background that's not very pretty? Raise your hands in the house of the Lord. You know what God did? When the world looked at us and said they'll grow up and be just like the rest of their family, God said, oh no, I've got to work for that one. I've got to work. You say God picks out people? Go back and read the Bible. There were many that were chosen by God before they was ever born. Jeremiah was one. While he was yet in the womb of his mother. Even before that, before I formed thee in the womb of the mother, I have chosen thee to be a prophet to the children. And God will use us because there's nothing too hard. No matter what you're facing today in your life, Cody, God bless you. He told us here the other service, he said that he was bragging on the Lord that he'd grown up and never had much of a home. And now God has arranged it to where he is able to buy a home. Is there anything too hard for God? Take a bunch of people that deserve to die and go to hell and turn us around and make us one of the greatest congregations there is in the land. You say, but you don't have the 30,000 members. Folks, let me tell you, I'd rather have what God has put together than have the greatest cathedral and not have the Spirit of God and a bunch of dry, drawn-out songs and preaching the Word of God in a way to please man instead of pleasing God. I said I wasn't going to preach long, but I might. Is there anything too hard for our God that he could put people's lives together? How many of us are amazed that God put our lives together? You know, we said, well, I mean, many of us have married our spouse when we were young. And you know, we're still together. And you say, that's just by luck. No. Is there anything too hard for God that he can keep us together? Because we're all human. We're self-willed. We're contrary. We're stubborn. We're hard-headed. Everybody say amen. Amen. But in spite of ourselves, is there anything too hard for God to put together and keep it together? Tonight, whatever it is in your life that looks like it's just impossible. God told Jeremiah, buy this field. But he'd already told him that it's going to end up in captivity. Why in the world will I buy a field that the Babylonians are going to take over? And the reason why he bought it is because he trusted God. He trusted God that by the prophecy that houses, fields, and vineyards would be possessed by the Jews again after many days. 70 years they were in captivity by the Babylonians. 70 years that land sat there. Oh, this will preach. But what God has promised, God will deliver. 70 years later, God restored it all back to the Jewish people. Gave it all back to them because they repented and went back to God. And God said, I've got something waiting for you. This land you lost, I give it back. It's yours. Tonight, as they get a song of invitation, what has God promised to you? You say, what has he promised, Roger? Let me give you just a few, because this book is full of them. God has promised to prosper us. He's promised us long days upon this earth. He's promised us health and strength. He's promised us that no matter how dark it may be, he would make a way. He's promised us that he would wake us up in the morning. He's promised us that we would have a good life while we're here. But the greatest of all is he's promised is that when we leave this world, we got a better home waiting on the other side. Is there anything too hard for your God? Is there anything too hard? And I know I'm preaching to a multi-generational audience tonight, but some of us have been there when we thought, man, this might just be the end of it. Some of us have been there when we wondered, how in the world are we going to make it? And then we have this new generation that's different than any other generation. And I say this, bragging on the Lord, this generation has got it better than any other generation in so many ways. But they've got it worse in the most important way. They make more money than mom and dad ever dreamed of, or grandma and grandpa. But what they do is they put themselves out there and say, look what I've done. Whereas in generations past, mom and dad went to church and said, look what God did. I was like the widow. And God passed by, and the mill has never gone down, and the cruse of oil has never failed, because God made a way. Little is much when the Lord is in it. Or you could have a lot and have nothing. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than all of this world. Because to be with Jesus is the greatest thing you'll ever experience. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song tonight, is there anything too hard for your God? Anything. No matter what it is and where you're at, God can take care of it. God can take care of it. Yes. Nothing too hard for my God. Yes. Nothing too hard for your God. If you'll lean upon Him and trust Him. Amen, amen. That's enough tonight. I want to brag on him while we get ready to go in our business meeting. Brother Billy, how in the world have we come to a place in science that they could go in and do that kind of a procedure and the next day tell you you could go golfing? And people say, well, that's because of technology and the doctors. I believe it's because God has opened up the minds and given us that technology and put it in the hands to where it could be used for the right reason and the right purposes. There's another one. Look what God did for her. How many can you raise your hand and say, look what He's done for me?
Amen.
Amen? God is good.